had for the spring from the songs of Opal Whiteley, the lovely voice of Ann Hills. Was there a guitar in there by Michael Smith, perhaps?
There was.
Well, welcome both of you to the Saturday Cafe. Ann Hills and Michael Smith, I have been fans of yours since my Wisconsin days, which means over 25 years.
Oh, come on, we're not that old.
It's amazing that we were playing music as toddlers.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, welcome to the Saturday Cafe. You've had a musical relationship that goes back, you know, longer than that. Give us a little bit of history. How did you...
I was working with Bob Gibson in mm-hmm. Chicago, playing bass for him, and he invited me up to this club where he had started a club, and it was called Hobson's Choice, and he was featuring Anne there, mm-hmm. and I started playing bass behind Anne, and then we started writing together, I guess.
Yeah. Well, first you taught me, I think, Grandmother's House.
Yeah,
and I lived
right.
in my grandmother's house, which was the very first of his songs that I'd learned. Of course, I'd moved to Chicago at the same time that Michael and Barbara, his wife, had moved. Everybody knew the Dutchman.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Stevie's version of the Dutchman, Stevie Goodman's version. And so I thought this bass player is such a great writer. And and the song when I lived in my grandmother's house had really appealed to me. So I remember in the basement of Hobson's
Choice.
The old
Banjos and Roses.
Yeah.
I love that song.
You love that song? Well.
You produced his first album on Flying Fish?
First three.
Yeah. I just thought he was great. It needed to be out there. I kind of went to Flying Fish, pitched it. Had to convince Michael. I think he was kind of fed up with the recording industry at that point.
Yeah.
And said, no, these guys are good. These good guys. Flying Fish folks. So
well, I must admit, I learned of Michael Smith from other people singing your songs, Claudia Schmidt, well, Steve Goodman, of course, and so I've always kind of thought of you as the songwriter who gets interpreted by other musicians.
Uh-huh.
And when I was first hearing Anne performing, it was as an interpreter of other people's songs. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm asking you this question in those terms: what do you look for in a song to interpret, and how do you make it your own? And what do you want a singer to do with your songs that you wouldn't necessarily do yourself performing them?
Well, the thing that's for me is most important. It's kind of, how do I put it? It's kind of basic, and that is that get the melody right and get the words right and get the chords right. And then after that, if that happens,
mm-hmm.
then I can take anything. I'm happy with that. It's when people don't pay attention to the words and rewrite. I've been rewritten,
mm-hmm.
you know, God knows, and not necessarily consciously. You know, it's just that some people...
People do it, yeah.
People just do it. They don't think, oh, I'm going to sing this song. Maybe I'll get the words from the writer. Or they think, I'm going to sing this song and I don't care what the writer does. I've heard it a certain way so long
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to do it that way. I think that's part of what goes on with people sometimes is the way you first hear something. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was that way too. I remember I used to hear, songs, Kurt Vile songs. I remember Mac the Knife.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Mac the Knife I heard was Louis Armstrong. You know, it was a hit when I was in eighth grade, I think, originally it was instrumental,
mm-hmm.
instrumental that was a hit, and then Louis Armstrong's version came along, this was in the 50s, and Louis had certain words certain lyrics that he used that were translations. And then I heard other people's, and as soon as I heard other people's, I was like, oh, no, that's not right. You know, it's whatever the first thing you hear, you know. And
yeah.
and now I see that, you know, Mr. Brecht or Mr. Vile would be saying, wait a minute here. The lyric goes like this, you know. And so I think for a lot of people, it's the first way they hear something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I know recently recorded a song of mine with absolutely the same mistakes on it that were on the earlier recording 20 years ago, you know.
And that's a hard thing because as writers, you know, people do rewrite things as
mm-hmm.
they go along. I mean, I find myself wanting to shift a thing here or there, you know. And but when you ask me which songs I love when I mean, that's why I kind of chose this music, is because it has this mix of the lyric being as important as the melody, that it being like a little theater, story songs, point of view songs. I like stepping into characters, and Michael more than Michael and Tom Paxton both have that thing of putting you in the place of the person who's singing the song. And then it's about communication. Does it really carry across the feeling? Does it really shift your heart, I guess? You know, that's what I look for.
Well, I would look for a live song right about now, if you would be so kind.
Well, you know, we could do Grandmother's House.
Sure.
It wouldn't be that far off from the Opal Whiteley stuff. Mostly tonight we're featuring Opal Whiteley's words and Michael's melodies. But this is the first one, you know, I learned in the basement of Hobson's Choice. And Mike wanted to be sure I got the chords right. So
yeah.
I'll do my very best right now to get the chords right. I'm sure I'll mess it up somehow.
We'll have a critique off mic much later.
He's tuning up there.
Where was Hobson's Choice?
Hobson's Choice was on Clark Street in Chicago. And it was an unusual club. When Bob Gibson started booking it, he tried to book it the way they used to do clubs in more like in the 50s and 60s, where they'd bring an act in for, you know, 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. And it was five nights a week, same act. So you could really build an audience, something very different than the way the club scene is right now.
Right.
But it made it, of course, we didn't have as many things for people to do, you know, in those days. You know, just watch the carriages roll by. When I was a young girl, our village was small. Just walk down Main Street and you'd seen it all. There's our front porch where the young men would call with their banjos and roses. Oh, the sweet as strawberries when I lived in my grandmother's house. Then along came young Tom, such a handsome young man, and he courted as well as a miner's son can. And our children grew up, and to think it began with banjos and roses and the summers and winters so quickly had passed, and our granddaughter came to our Now the young men come call with their long shaggy hair, and they talk on the front porch as if I'm not there, and they dance to their records, and I'm wondering where are the banjos and roses. But my granddaughter smiles just the way that I did when I lived in my grandmother's house.
My guests today on the Saturday Cafe are Ann Hills and Michael Smith. You're going to make me cry. I love that song so much.
I'm glad.
They're performing tonight in Cottage Grove at the Axe and Fiddle as part of the Opal Whiteley Symposium happening down there. So we should talk about Opal Whiteley.
Absolutely. Opal Whiteley was a little girl that lived in 11 different logging camps out here. And when she was in the Cottage Grove region, kept a nature journal. And the whole project we did was just words from the diary that was rediscovered by Benjamin Hoff and published with her biography many years ago. I was doing a show called Quilters, and the director handed me a book called The Singing Creek Where the Willows Grow, The Rediscovered Diaries of Opal Whiteley, that was written by Benjamin Hoff. And she said, I think you'll like this, Anne. And I loved it. I fell in love with her story. I fell in love with the book. And Michael was on Broadway at the time. He had written the music for The Grapes of Wrath for the Steppenwolf Theater Company. And so I said, when you're done with that, I have your next project. And I said, there's this wonderful nature journal written by a six and seven-year-old girl that you're going to love. And so he wrote songs. And that was a long time ago. And I recorded a couple of the songs and didn't really pull it together to do the whole project until a few years ago. And then it was orchestrated or written for a small chamber group with flute, which people heard at the beginning of our interview. So in 1921, it had been serialized in the Atlantic Monthly, long story short, and published then by Putnam Press in 1921. It was a bestseller called The Journal of an Understanding Heart. And she really was probably just an extremely gifted child with probably Asperger's, that ability to memorize numbers, dates, names, scientific names, and she named everything around her. She named all the animals. William Shakespeare was the old logging horse, and Peter Paul Rubens was the pig, and Brave Horatius was the dog, and that came from a poem, and Lars Porsena of Clusium was the pet crow, that was from another, and the trees were named, and everything had its name and its special date that it was christened, you know, in the cathedral in the forest. So it's a fascinating story. Her story goes on from there. But to me, the most important thing was the way that this child saw the world. She saw the holiness, you know, in everything.
And the personableness. Yes. You know, she wasn't surrounded by inanimate objects and
she was connected
and mute,
to everything.
Yeah. Mute creatures. Every one of them was a person, a friend to her.
Right.
How did you get connected with the Cottage Grove Symposium?
Well, when I went to do the Opal Whiteley CD, I wanted someone to write the notes, and I asked Stephen Williamson, who is the historian down there, and he did a beautiful job of writing the notes for the CD, and then has been asking me to come out ever since the CD came out a couple years ago. So this is the first time out here since this project.
Well, you're performing tonight at the Axe and Fiddle in Cottage Grove, 657 East Main Street. It's at 8 o'clock. There's a symposium starting at 4 o'clock with a preview of an upcoming film, and it says historians' discussion. That's your historian then?
Yeah, most of the discussion will go from 7 o'clock on at the Axe and Fiddle, but Steve will be beginning sort of letting people know there will be a few people gathering around 4.
And from there, you're going up to Portland for a house concert. So they're kind of off of our listening area, but I'm going to give the phone number just for word of mouth. Sunday, June 20th at 7, Dover Laugh House Concerts, 503-771-3103. Yeah. Thank you, Ann Hills. Thank you, Michael Smith. It is a dream come true having you on the Saturday Cafe after all this time.
Thank you. We have time
for one more song, if you would be so kind.
I'm going to do just a little intro from the diary, and then we'll go into it. I went walking with Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I think she will grow up to be a lovely cow. Her mooings are very musical, and there is poetry in her tracks. Near eventide today, I did go out of the house when the works were done. I went out the back door and down the pathways. I made a stop to look at the clouds. Brave Horatius came and sat by my side. He looked up at me. In his eyes were askings. I made explainings. The sky is filled with clouds that look like ships. I saw the cloud ship sailing on. The trees were talking at the altar of St. Luke. The wind did sing a memory song. Such a comfort to have a friend near when lonesome feels to come. Near eventide today, I went on a little way, and while I so did, I watched the cloud ships. Near eventide today, I watched the cloud ships. They first did come over the hills in a slow way, and they did sail on and on. I did have wonders what thoughts they were carrying. The wind did sing a memory song. Such a comfort to have a friend near when lonesome feels to come. Near eventide today, I went on a little way, and while I so did, I watched the cloud ships. Near eventide today, I watched the cloud ships. Elizabeth Barrett Browning was at the pasture bars. There were lonesome fields in her eyes. So I went and put my arm around her. The wind did sing a memory song. Such a comfort to have cloud ships.